What a joy to gather today in celebration from so many different physical locations. And what a genuine treat it is to be on time. Amid the backdrop of a tumultuous year, today serves as a reminder that there is still so much to celebrate, that there is still value in coming together in community, even virtually, and also that there is still so much work to be done. However, I invite you now to gently set aside your work and stress and fears, and help make space to mark this moment in celebration of the miracle of every moment. Today is about Dan Lilly and the communities that have held him when faced with daunting challenges, that celebrate with him during hard-earned success. We also celebrate Emily, Natalie, the dogs, and Dan's bread pudding. We celebrate the moments of laughter and tears, the dryness of the Southwest, the dampness of the Northwest. Friends, family, and faith. We embrace this space that we create together to honor the dedication, the passion, and the love that builds this ordination. Welcome.
We light the chalice when we gather to honor the spaces that we make sacred by our presence.
We light the chalice to honor those who have served in the ministry of our Unitarian Universalist faith.
And today we light the chalice to honor a person whom we have chosen to help carry that tradition into the future.
I bring you greetings. I'm the Reverend Bob LaValle, and I serve as the Associate Minister at First Unitarian Church in Albuquerque. And on behalf of our Unitarian Universalist tradition, I welcome all of you to this service, whether or not you are a UU. So no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, you are welcome here. Whether you believe in God all of the time, or some of the time, or none of the time, you are welcome here. No matter what body brought you in here, no matter who you love, you are welcome at this ordination of Dan Lilly. So come, let us celebrate together.
Looks like it's from New Mexico. I wonder what's inside. Looks like he's fast asleep. Dear Bridget, this wolf will wake up in a few days. They were in a forest fire here in New Mexico. They're okay, but they need a new home, and Dan needs a puppet. You can't be a minister without a puppet, and we heard he was gonna get crowned a minister soon. Thank you, Carl and Rebecca. Wonder who Carl and Rebecca are. And crowned a new minister? I don't think they fully understand that concept. Well, I think I better call Mia in New Mexico and find out what's going on. Should I wake him up? Probably better not poke a sleeping wolf. Hi, Mia. I'm Bridget. I'm the DRE up in Woodinville, Washington, Dan Lilly's new congregation.
Hi.
Hi, I got this package that I don't quite understand. There's a sleeping wolf in it. There was a note that came from Rebecca and Carl. Can you tell me anything about it?
That must be Rebecca Rabbit and Carl Coyote, two of our church puppets. They're sheltering somewhere else, but I could try calling them. They definitely have some magic. So let's see. Rebecca, Rebecca, Carl, Carl. Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Carl. Well, thanks for coming when I called you. Pandemic powers. Okay. Do you happen to know anything about the box with the sleeping wolf in it? Oh, it looks like you recognize it. You heard over PuppetNet that there was a refugee puppet from the fires that needed a new home, and so you sent them to Dan. PuppetNet? Huh, okay, so I guess that's what Angela was talking about when she said there was a mess of packing tape all over her floor. And now that I look closely, I see you still have some stuck to you, Rebecca. We'll have to take care of that. Oh, it's stuck on there. Okay. But what a nice idea to give Dan an ordination present. Coronation present. Coronation like a king or queen? No. Ministers are not kings or queens. Dan is going to be ordained at an ordination service. So this wolf, I hope you asked her if this was what she wanted. Okay, but it has to be a surprise. I see, that's why you addressed the box to Bridget. Well, good thinking. Well, Bridget, now you know why you have a box with a sleeping wolf in it on your desk. Don't poke it.
Oh no, never. The note said it would wake up soon. It is such a sweet idea that you puppet sent Dan an ordination gift. We are so excited to have him here as our new minister in Washington, and I am positive that he will enjoy having his very own wolf puppet to help him. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what an ordination is, okay? All right. So an ordination is a big celebration. It's kind of like a birthday or a wedding. It's in a little bit like a coronation of a king or queen, but really it celebrates the beginning of a minister's career. And so in order to become a minister, Dan had to go to school for 3 years, and then he had to spend a couple of years working in congregations, training on how to be a minister, and he had to read lots of books and go through all kinds of things. And now he's finally done, and he gets to be ordained. So we, in Washington, his new congregation, and you down in Albuquerque, where he did some of his training to be a minister, we're gonna celebrate his ordination together today. All right, so I hope you'll just stick around and pay attention and celebrate this ordination with us.
Oh, Rebecca and Carl, would you like to stay and watch the ordination from my office? Okay. Well, let's say goodbye to Bridget then.
Bye, Bridget. Thank you.
This is such a huge step. So congratulations. I'm so proud of you. We have often joked about how you love to take the long way to get places. And as I've been reflecting on this, I kind of have begun to think that maybe all those moments that felt like barriers or hurdles that you had to overcome were really just little moments of pause, getting you to kind of breathe and slow down a little bit, just to get you to be exactly right here, exactly right now, which feels exactly like you. So proud of you. I also wanted to extend a giant thank you to your giant network of support people. So Emily and Natalie and your parents and all of the people around you who have loved you and supported you. As we all know, this work cannot happen in a silo, and it requires the constant dedication and love and support from those people who you've built around your life, to say, you can keep going, you got this, it's not over. And so a massive thanks to everyone around you from me, one of your oldest and longest friends, for supporting you and keeping you accountable when you need to be held accountable, and for just loving the heck out of you. Thank you to all of you. So you asked me to sing you a little song. Happy to do that. In the next video, I'm not sure if it'll be a quick transition, but happy to do that for you because I'm just so dang proud of you. Congratulations. I love you.
When I was a boy each week, on Sunday we would go to church and pay attention to the priest. He would read the holy word and consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad that miracles don't happen still, but now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. Why, from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick is that anything is here at all. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. When holy water ebbs, it barely wet my fingertips, but now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there, heaven's cigarette hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Read a questioning child's face and say it's not a testament. That'd be very hard to say. See another new morning come and say it's not a sacrament. I tell you that it can't be done. This morning outside I stood, saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. Made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, cause everything is holy now.
Congratulations, Dan.
Hello, my name is Erica Lee Simca, and I'm the pastor of Albuquerque Mennonite Church, and I'm thankful to be a friend and colleague of Dan's. In this prayer, when you hear, "We give thanks," please echo that back. So we give thanks, we give thanks. For this special day, we give thanks. For this minister, we give thanks. For his calling, we give thanks. For the Creator, we give thanks. For all of creation's presence in our various locations, we give thanks. We come together united to affirm, celebrate, and support Dan Lilly's calling to ministry and service. We celebrate his welcome into fellowship by the Ministerial Fellowship Committee and his calling to faithfully serve Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church. Today, on this feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, that Dan claims is a coincidence, but I think that's an interesting coincidence, perhaps a spiritual Freudian slip to have an ordination today. On this day, I invite us to center ourselves as we both celebrate Dan, Emily, and Natalie's service, in addition to our own calls to Tikkun Olam, world repair. Let us take a moment of silent reflection. In the spirit of St. Francis, Dan's favorite saint, may the divine make us instruments of peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. May we not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. May it be, let it be.
Blessings to you, Dan Lilly, on this your ordination Sunday, October 4th, 2020.
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to first send you a message of congratulations. I'm so proud of you.
I loved working with you. It was fun. You kept it warm and heart-centered, and I know that you're going to take that on with you.
It has been a great pleasure to me personally to watch you grow and build yourself into a confident, thoughtful, and mindful leader.
Your committee celebrates your reaching this milestone. We wholeheartedly applaud you. Bravo, Dan.
From a fellow Albuquerquean, Jan Radoslovich. Welcome, Reverend Dan, to the great Pacific Northwest and WUC.
May you find your ministry with our church to be fulfilling as we build beloved community together.
I'm honored to say to you, congratulations, Rev Dan.
Dan Lilly, we give this blessing to celebrate you and the path you have chosen.
Dan has already demonstrated so much that we have been wanting and waiting for.
As we celebrate your ordination, I offer our warm embrace and commitment to our shared ministry. Blessings for you and your ministry as we begin this new chapter together.
May your days with us here in the Pacific Northwest be filled with just the right amount of challenge, lots of accomplishments, and a deep sense of purpose.
I am so truly delighted that you have brought your ministry to this congregation, and I am looking forward to sharing the life of the Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church with you and your family for years to come. Congratulations, welcome, and namaste.
Dan, give me a nod if I'm on. Okay. Because for some reason, friends, this is how things go. For some reason, it quit showing me the video of greetings and popped only to me right after the video started. So I didn't know when it was over. Friends, Dan, Emily, orienting ourselves in beloved community is a lifelong work. It is rightly passed from person to person, congregation to congregation, generation to generation. Ministers, congregations, families, and the denomination have handed on the shared work of extending special care to our clergy, to religious professionals of all types, to their families and loved ones in times of need. The offering today will go to the Living Tradition Fund. This fund was developed in 1988 by General Assembly. And at that time, it was requested that ordinations and installations in those services that offerings be taken for the Living Tradition Fund. This fund gives us the opportunity to support our congregations and our long-term living tradition of Unitarian Universalism in several ways. One is providing need-based scholarships for theological students. Many of my peers received those funds. A second is new minister assistance with the repayment of debt associated with the incredibly high cost of becoming a UU minister. I have received some of this debt assistance grant as well. And the last is emergency assistance, the likes of which is being called on in near unprecedented ways during this time of pandemic and COVID, as it is touching clergy, seminarians, religious professionals, congregational staff, denominational staff, retired ministers and their loved ones. Emergency assistance grants are available now, not just to those who were in need, but to those who might soon come into need. Truly, supporting the beloved community is something we must all do together. As we do this together, we have an opportunity to extend real, tangible generosity, not in this moment only, but one which will grow and roll and ripple forward into the future. And so, friends, now is the time to get out your credit cards. Now is the time to figure out what check you want to write and to write in the memo line that this is for Dan Lilly's ordination. Now is the time to go to the link giving.uua.org/LTF for Living Tradition Fund. Give to this fund. Friends, it has helped me. I know that it will help many who are on this call and in service today. Oh, hi, baby. I just saw her waving. And we don't know how Dan and Emily's life will go into the future. But should he need this fund to assist with debt reduction, or should he need this fund, should Emily, should any in their family need this fund, or in the congregations they serve, you can know for sure that every penny you give today will extend the life of our faith long into the future. We will now receive your offering, friends. Be generous as you give.
You can hold my hand when you need to let go. I can be a mountain when you're feeling very low. I can be a streetlight showing you the way home. You can hold my hand when you need to let go.
Let the sky above me unroll like a scroll.
And let me read upon it today's text for my life.
You are alive, here and now. Love boldly and always tell the truth.
You are alive, here and now.
Love
boldly.
And always tell the truth.
Let the wind arrange the naked branches of the maples and aspens and oaks into letters which proclaim this sacred text.
Your heart beats now.
Not tomorrow or yesterday.
Love the gift of your life and do no harm.
Let the eyes and hands and faces of all men and women and children with whom I share this earth be chapter and verse in this great scripture text.
Life is struggle and loss.
And also tenderness and joy.
Live all of your life, not just part of it.
And now let all the poems and scriptures
and novels and films
and songs and cries
and lullabies and prayers and anthems
open up before our free hearts.
Let them open like a Torah,
like a psalm,
like a gospel,
like an apocalypse.
And let them proclaim,
do not think you can take away each other's troubles, but try to be with each other in them.
You cannot take away each other's troubles.
Try to be with each other in them.
Remember that you are part,
not all.
Great,
but not by far the greatest.
Small,
precious.
Brief breaths in the great whirlwind of creation.
You are brief breaths in the whirlwind of creation.
And remember that every single human word,
every single human word,
every single
human word
is finally
and divinely
cradled in the strong and secure arms of silence.
Well, here we are. Here you are, Dan, at this watershed moment, your ordination. You've been heading towards this day for nearly a decade now. First plans, then school, then internship, credentialing, and then job hunting in the midst of a pandemic. Oh my. But through it all, you have consistently put one foot in front of the other, heading towards this rather challenging goal. And here we all are, ready to celebrate with you, all decked out, hankies on ready, smiles evident, love overflowing in our hearts, ready to say the words, "We do ordain you." But wait, what difference will that make? Mr. Almost Reverend, how is this going to change you? And how is it going to make you different from us? Well, here's some good news. It won't change you a bit. An ordination is a little like that 10th birthday. Do you remember? How do you feel to be 10 years old? Some foolish grown-up asked. Two digits. And the answer, if you were brave enough to say so, is that you pretty much felt exactly the same that you did yesterday. It took you 10 whole years to grow into being 10 years old, actually. Walking, falling, reading, venturing forth, retreating back, growing pangs, abject failures, great adventures and all. The 10th birthday doesn't actually make you different. It celebrates who you have become. It's the same with ordination. You'll be the same tomorrow as you are today. You'll just have a new and rather unwieldy title to show for your work of the last 10 years. What a relief. We already like you, We have already decided that you're a good leader and well worth hearing on Sunday mornings. Ordination doesn't make you different. It celebrates the ministry you chose and learned and will continue to learn. The leadership of a congregation and care of its people, service to your larger community through service to your chosen community. Ordination celebrates the fact that we recognize in you a certain kind of person, a guy who has the courage to love us boldly and always tell us the truth, a guy who can breathe with us and be with us in all that is our lives and can do that without taking the burden into his own body or heart, at least not for long. Someone who can help us figure out our world and how to be in it. A guy who can hear the sound of sheer silence and point us in that direction. A guy who knows that it's not that he's the greatest, but that together we can be a great community. All that's the work of parish ministry, and you have to be able to cope with a budget, hire help, talk to the plumbers, and raise money besides. It's a big job for a Renaissance man. It's endlessly interesting, deeply meaningful. Even the budgets in the bathrooms will offer you opportunities to learn and ponder. We from Albuquerque, who watched you grow into ministry, saw these things being written on your heart as you gained skill and confidence, as you earned our trust and opened your heart to us. Oh yeah. And we so enjoy that our confidence in you was affirmed by the Woodinville congregation. Good pick, guys. We're thrilled for you and we're here to celebrate with you. And then comes the question, how does ordination make you different from us? And the answer to that is, it doesn't make you different from us. It celebrates a large commitment you have made to ministry. And most of us, we have commitments and ministries too. So in the same way that people go to weddings, not only thrilled for the bride and groom, but also hoping, if almost secretly, to be reminded of the preciousness of their own commitments, so ordinations celebrate not only the ordination of one person to the ministry, but the callings that all of us experience to our ministries and the way those ministries keep our lives growing and meaningful. The focus is on you who comes forward today, but all of us will know joy, not only for you, but for ourselves. Ministry, you see, is both the work of a religious professional and the parts of all of our lives in which we serve others, our community, our world. It's a big word, ministry. Here's its story. In Latin, ministry is to serve. This root takes the form in English in words as diverse as administer and minestrone. Yep. Minestrone, you see, started out as the pot of soup created in medieval monasteries after the monks or nuns were fed. Leftover meat, vegetables, scraps of pasta, and bits of herbs were tossed in a pot with some water and left on the stove so that late arriving travelers in those days, when inns were few and far between, could have something to eat. Providing hospitality for travelers was one of the services, the ministries, that monasteries provided the medieval world. And one way or another, that's something that all of us who live a rich life do. We meet the needs of our families, we contribute to good causes, we take leadership in worthy institutions. Some of us serve us others very directly as teachers, social workers, medics. Some are raising children, caring for aging parents, administering government or social services, or looking in on disabled neighbor. Sometimes the elderly parent or disabled neighbor is in turn listening to our troubles or baking cookies for the neighborhood children. All these things are ministries. So is volunteering in a school or a senior center, picking up trash on your walks, rescuing pets, making contributions, serving on a board. Any of the myriad ways we serve others make our world a better place. I hope that each of us here has at least one ministry, paid or volunteer, formal or informal. I know you don't brag on these things, even to yourself, but if you don't even think about them, you make a precious part of your life mundane. There's a sacred truth to most of our lives, which is that we have a ministry, a big one or a small one. And in that work, we are fulfilling our calling as a human being, which is to make a contribution of whatever size and whatever nature to something outside of ourselves. That calling comes to all of us, not just to professional ministers. It comes to all of us, not just those with ample leisure time or buckets of money or who have it all together. It comes to us all. So Dan is being ordained in a few minutes, but all of us, we're being confirmed. And our hankies, our tears of joy for Dan at the threshold, but they're also tears of joy and recognition for our own lives. And so in the words of the poem, we want to love boldly and always tell the truth, to love our lives and do no harm. We know we will struggle with grief and anxiety and change and loss and celebrate our joys and milestones. We want to bring our whole selves to all that is our life. We want to know ourselves as good and wise and to always remember that we are far from the best or the wisest. We want to honor the parts of our lives that are our ministries, as we this afternoon honor the work and the learning and the life that has brought Dan to this threshold and made him our minister. May we all know this moment as sacred, and may the ripples that begin in this pool, this hour, flow out into the world. Blessings and amen.
Love. The question I'll ask at the end of my days is, what did I gain and what will I take? There's only one answer that matters. Even if your heart and your dreams have been shattered,
the living tradition of Unitarian Universalism, the right and privilege of ordination belongs exclusively to our free congregations. It is a reason for celebration when congregations gather to carry out the sacred act of ordination, which affirms our faith and pledges our support to a minister answering the call to Unitarian Universalist ministry with the yes of their life.
Dan, you've spent years studying and preparing your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit. Having been welcomed into fellowship by the Ministerial Fellowship Committee of the Unitarian Universalist Association, are you prepared to travel the path of ministry and service to your people, to our living tradition, and to the wider world?
I am.
Members of the Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church
and members of First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque,
our two congregations have both unanimously voted to ordain Dan to Unitarian Universalist ministry.
In doing so, we are reminded that we too minister. We co-minister with each other, our lay leaders, our religious professionals, and yes, our ordained clergy, to care for one another, to bring love and compassion into the world, and to live our Unitarian Universalist values. And now we gather to do one of the greatest tasks that our faith tradition grants to congregations. Members of Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church and First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque, are you ready to confer ordination upon Dan?
We are ready.
Would the members of both ordaining congregations please say the following words of ordination along with us? Your microphones will stay muted, but what you say will be joyfully received and I believe felt by all. By the authority
of our living tradition, we are the members of the Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church
and First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque,
do joyfully ordain you as the Reverend Daniel Benjamin Lilly to the Unitarian Universalist Ministry.
May you bring your whole self to your calling, and may our faith in you give you strength and support you as you minister to a world in need of hope, healing, and love.
Dan, The two congregations are ordaining you, but today we join together, along with your family, friends, and colleagues, to become one beloved community. Would everyone here today join me in saying the following words of affirmation? Your microphones will stay muted, but what you say will be joyfully received.
We are your cloud of witnesses. It is with great joy that we share this moment with you.
We bless you and we affirm your ordination and your ministry. May our presence here today remind you that you are never alone.
With a fussy baby and with the blessing of this beloved community, I gratefully and humbly accept the ministry to which you have ordained me. I pledge to live faithfully into my calling with courage, compassion, and love.
Yay!
Yay! Yay, hooray, hooray! All right. Well, here comes my part. Beloved community of family, friends, ministers, congregants, colleagues, I am honored now to lead you in the sacred ritual of the laying of the hands. What brings us together today? Our holiness, our flaws, our questions, our connectedness, our love to each other and to the now Reverend Dan. Indeed, it is a great reason to be with one another. Dan often refers to God as the energy in the room that is created when people gather in a shared space. Did you know that his favorite thing about ministry is, in fact, all of you? It's all of you. And it's what we co-create together. The laying of the hands signifies that we, those present in this shared virtual space, hereby covenant to support Dan in his ministry now and going forward. So we co-create that energy together. At this time, I will ask you to do a few things for me. First, I'd like, if you're on a laptop or a computer, to go hover in the top right corner and switch your view. This is on your Zoom screen, to gallery mode. That way you get to see everybody's pictures. If you'd also put your video on if you don't have it on, if you're willing and able to do so. That way we can all see each other. I know we can only see one screen at a time. And I believe, we'll just see how Natalie does here. What's that? Okay. If you're on your phone, I think you swipe to the right, I want to say. All right. And now just take a look at all the faces and the names that you're seeing before you. You too, Natalie, take a look. All right.
Hi, Natalie.
All right. As you are willing and able, this is us still practicing, okay? I want you to raise your hands, not just up, but to the sides of your screen. Here, we'll be each a hand. And you can connect to the person who's with you if you're with someone else. That way it's like we're all linking hands. Beautiful. Okay. So good practice. You can all put your hands down and I'll have you raise them again. I'll let you know when it's your turn. Okay. And when I ask you to raise your hands, please keep them raised. Dan, I think Natalie's ready and I am too. We're going to place our hands upon you as a symbol of our love and commitment to support you in your ministry. Now will Dan's family and friends, will you join in raising your hands? Connect them out there, just like we did, okay. All right. Will Dan's colleagues in ministry join in raising your hands? And as a symbol of laying your hands upon him. Yes. Congregants of WUUC in First U Albuquerque and all our beloved friends at, I wanted to say First Universalist of Denver, will you join us as well? Okay. Should have just about everybody. So now if your hands aren't up yet, please raise your hands. So everyone's hands should be up. Hang with me for just a second. I'm going to have you pause and look at these raised hands and through palm to palm, connecting us to each other in our little Zoom boxes. Even though we are gathered virtually and not physically, I bet you can feel the energy that we are co-creating together right now in this moment. So let's linger for a moment to really notice what it feels like. Concentrate on what we have created together. Hold that space. Let's hold that feeling for just a few more moments.
Feels good.
Feels good. He's really holding on to your beard there. All right. Thank you all so much. You can rest your arms. And now I ask you to join me in a spirit of prayer. Let's pray, Natalie. All right. Spirit of life, although we may be far apart, although this may not be how we envisioned your ordination, it's certainly beautiful. And we are here today together to bless Dan and his ministry. May he know that he is never in this alone. May he and we be reminded to pause in gratitude for the gifts we provide to one another. As co-creators of this energy, may we allow ourselves to be changed by this and to do good in the world. May it be so. Blessed be. I love you.
I love you.
Yes. All right. Now we're moving on to the Stoll presentation.
Check.
Eggie. Oh, look at you all. Yes.
Greetings, gathered community. My name is Jessica Belmont.
Hello, my name is Jack Brand.
Hi everyone, my name is Lori McConnell.
Hi, my name is Leslie Morton.
Emma is actually texting us that she's out. She got dumped out of Zoom.
Well then, good afternoon. My name is Kermit Sprang.
And my name is Aggie Sweeney, and we're the members of Dan's search committee in Woodinville.
Dan, as the folks who have known you the longest here at WUC, we want to be the first ones to honor you, your new status as an ordained minister. We have a symbol of ministry to offer to you.
On behalf of the search committee, we'd like to ask Emily to hold up the stole we are presenting to you as a gift from the Woodinville UU Church to represent this milestone in your ministry.
And since apparently Emily isn't here, I guess
Emily's
it's even here. More virtual
Emily's
than usual.
Here, I can take Emma's part if you like.
If you would.
And whenever you wear it in public, may whoever sees it know that you carry the weight and support of this religious community with you in your speech, in your actions, and in your being.
This stole is a symbol of ministerial authority. When you wear it, may it remind you of your call to ministry that you have been that has been recognized and affirmed here at your ordination.
And Emily and Natalie, at this time, would you please place the stole on Dan? I should say on Reverend Dan.
Reverend Dan, yes.
Beautiful.
Anne's pre-candidating week was right before the pandemic forced us to go entirely virtual. So the seven of us actually got to meet and see Dan in person.
Little did we know that this would be an unprecedented year to be in search. Dan's candidating week was entirely virtual, and the beginning of his ministry has been as well.
Dan, to mark the strange times that we are all living in and that you are being ordained in, we have also chosen a Zoom stole for you.
It is shorter than the traditional stole so that it will hang properly on you while sitting down as you lead worship from a computer.
Emily, would you please place the Zoom stole on Dan as a symbol of his ministry during the pandemic?
Now, with these symbols of ministry, go forth and inspire us, guide us, and care for us, all from the couch in your home office for now.
We are glad to be journeying with you.
I love the Zoom stole. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister of First Unitarian Church in Albuquerque, where I had the great joy of working with Dan as an intern and then as our ministerial resident. We are nearing the end of this beautiful and special service. Just a couple of speakers left and a bit of music. And so many words of wisdom have already been shared, vows made, affection expressed. And so, Dan, my friend, I am going to go to essence with this charge to the minister. My charge to you, in short, is to keep love central in all that you do. Love for the people, love for yourself, and love for your family. Everybody who knows you, Dan, knows that loving the people you serve comes naturally to you. There is no one I've ever met with a bigger heart. And loving people is one of the best things about ministry. Yet there will also come a point when you will realize that it's dangerous, because the more you love them, the harder it gets to lose them. And this is part of the job, to love enough that someday we will grieve. Love anyway, boldly, as Christine Robinson said in the sermon today, nothing could enrich your life or your ministry more. Love is also a good strategy, because when people know you love them, they find it easier to forgive you when you disappoint them. And you will. No one goes into the ministry wanting to disappoint people, yet that too is part of the job sometimes. I mention the people you serve, but really I should say the people of the congregation you serve. You aren't here to be at the service of individuals exactly, but of your deep calling and of the mission to the congregation, the mission of the congregation. And sometimes, occasionally, what individuals want will be at odds with those things. Usually it happens in a sideways kind of way. A committee wants you to do work volunteers can do, for example, with the result that you would be distracted from the work only you, the minister, can do. And in order to minister effectively, you'll have to disappoint them. So it goes. Love the people and let them know you love them, and they will love you back in spite of these things, mostly. Ministry can be hard on ministers sometimes, though, so my second charge to you is to remember to also love yourself. When this work is hard, it is often hard in ways that are difficult to articulate. Trust your spirit, mind, and body to tell you when you need to seek extra rest or refueling, and then do it. Don't second guess yourself. Be a minister today as though you expect to be one for the next 40 or 50 years. It is a marathon, not a sprint, and every Sunday is a hill. So pace yourself accordingly. Remember that a life in ministry is a life of learning and growth. Remember to celebrate that and to be kind to yourself along the way. Reach out to your colleagues. We understand this path and we love you too. I also encourage you to check in with your older self from time to time. Old man Dan is remembering these years even as you live them. He sees the big picture. He totally gets you and he is rooting for you. Ask him for advice. My third charge to you is to especially remember to love your family. A church is big compared to a minister's family. It has a big mission and lots of worthy goals, and that is exactly why you have to put your family first. If you don't, they won't stand a chance. There's almost always more work and more pressing work to be done for a church than for a family. But your family needs you more than any congregation ever will. Here I want to remind everyone that Dan is married to Emily, not to the church. And we want little Natalie and all children of ministers to grow up to be UUs and to still like the church. And we want our churches to be good for families, including ministers' families. Therefore, I issue this charge right here in public at your ordination, Dan. Love your family and put them first. Love your family, love yourself, and love the people whose lives are touched by your ministry. With these three guiding principles, may your calling be sustainable, fruitful, and a blessing to you and to all. May it be so.
And I am the Reverend Christiana Heide from Tucson, Arizona, and I had the great privilege to be Dan's CPE supervisor. CPE, clinical pastoral education, is one of the toughest things in preparation for ministry to go through because it reveals our weakest and most sore parts of our soul and history, and challenges the new and becoming minister or chaplain to face those. And so I think I had the best job out of all of you who have shared, because I got to see Dan over many months evolve. Dan, you let me know your fears and your worries and your deep desire to do your best and to do everything better yet. And I saw you grow and evolve and heal to the point that you trusted yourself. You didn't lose your fear. You just went through it with courage, with deep self-awareness, with love, and became this genuine, authentic, wonderful man and powerful minister. And so, Dan, I am honored and glad to tell you that as of today, I am not your CPE supervisor anymore. We are colleagues, and Reverend Dan, I am glad we will be so. Much love to you. I am so grateful for who you are, have become, and will continue to become.
Hello, good people. I'm the Reverend Sarah Schur, from the Pacific Western region of the UUA. Congratulations, Reverend Dan Lilly, on this amazing day of your ordination, a day you will remember all of your life. Congratulations to the First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque on launching this fine minister ordained today. Thank you so much for the foundation you've given him on behalf of our faith. And congratulations to the Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church, the church now served by this newly ordained minister. You two congregations have a special relationship as you jointly ordain Dan Lilly today. In my mind, I see a track meet with a relay race. The first runner starts the race and runs fast and strong. And as the first runner approaches the turn, the second leg runner begins to run as well. And in a carefully choreographed move, they pass the baton. Now, Dan, I am not calling you a baton, I promise. But I am saying that these two congregations are engaged in a team effort in making our Unitarian Universalist faith manifest in this world. Your ministry came from the Albuquerque Church and is carefully and intentionally moving to Woodinville. And likely after a good long time of progress, you'll move on to yet another church on the Unitarian Universalist team. And that's a good and glorious thing. Now is Woodinville's time to go forth with this fine new minister. And I wish you all nothing but the best together. And in that I'm giving the charge to the congregations, I guess I have a little bit of wisdom to impart. This advice has to do with the nature of human beings. And I just love human beings. I want you to know that. I really do. And every single human I have ever met has been an imperfect being. Oh yes, we all have inherent worth and dignity. That is truly so. And the key word here is that it is inherent. That means being the smartest you can doesn't give you more of it. And that our worth and dignity is there even when we drop our cell phone into the sink while we're doing dishes. We don't need to do anything to earn this, and we can't do anything to take it away. Being imperfect human beings with inherent worth and dignity means that when someone messes up, we deal with it in a respectful way. Just the other day, I spilled coffee all over my friend's book. I didn't make excuses, I just bought her a new copy. We're all here to do the important work of church, of building a better world together and in a very strange time in history. Yet our churches, remember, they're full of human beings. And yeah, we know about human beings. The good news is that we all do this work of church together within covenant. Covenants, as you may have heard, are like promises but bigger. Covenants involved two parties making the promise and also a third party. Some think of it as God, some of the greater good, some the web of relationships. Maybe it's as described earlier, that energy when we're all in the room. And yet, it's not like if you mess up in some way, the covenant is null and void. No, it means you lean back into the relationship with humility, accountability, honesty, mutual respect, and forgiveness. It means that sometimes being in relationship can be more important than telling someone else that you were right all along. It calls to mind for me how we have to bring each other back into relationship, call each other in when we make a mistake rather than calling each other out. Like those great words from the Reverend Rob Eller Isaacs, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. As the ministry of Reverend Dan Lilly is faithfully passed from Albuquerque to Woodinville, may this ministry thrive. May we all join together as Unitarian Universalists and as worthy human beings, doing the important work we're called to do. We're here to build a better world of love and justice for all people. May it be so.
My name is Susan Peck. I'm the director of music from First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. So I had the great privilege and pleasure of working with Dan for the 3 years he was with us. Our closing hymn today is number 318 in Singing the Living Tradition. I'll put the words in the chat box right now if So I hope you will sing along at home, and we will have this network of voices from all over the U.S. singing together, We Would Be One.
Now, my first official act as a reverend, I close this service with these words by Reverend Gary Kowalski. With faith to face our challenges, with love that casts out fear, with hope to trust tomorrow, we accept this day as the gift it is, a reason for rejoicing. Blessed be, go in peace.
You can hold my hand when you need to let go. I can be a mountain when you're feeling valley low. I can be a stream.